beautiful. Brother, thank the Lord you're leaving tomorrow. No, I'm kidding with you. That is beautifully done. Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. Good. It's good to have true friends in the ministry. He's a true friend. I mean that. God bless him. I feel sorry for his wife, but he's been a real friend. I appreciate him. God bless you. And I appreciate that breakfast you fed me this morning, too. That was good. Appreciate the lunch that Brother Gary fed me today. That was good. Man, that was great. That was wonderful. And it's good to be saved. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs. I'm actually going to try to get to 2 Timothy, but I may not get to it tonight. I want to talk to you this evening. Now, you know how that goes, right? I start out talking and it turns into preaching and all this, but I just want to share some things with you that the Lord has laid on my heart this very day. And I'll be honest with you, I've got my message right here all ready to go, but I may not get to it. I was called out two or three times a day for different sicknesses in the church. And Miss Debbie Davis up at the hospital, and Brother Joe Wampler in Holston Valley, and Linda Stewart finding out about her cancer. She already knew she had it, but it's stage four, and it's not looking good. Lord began to deal with my heart today, and I just want to talk to you. Proverbs 27:1 says this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Again, Proverbs 27:1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, I brought something with me tonight, and I realize that this is different. I understand all this because I'm just trying to follow the Lord here. But you know, I got to thinking today, and I was talking to Bob. He was with me. He was with me today for a little while. And we came out of Linda's room. I told Bob that the Lord was beginning to deal with my heart about this thought: what thou doest, do quickly. What you do, do quickly. You know, the fact of the matter is, folks, we have no idea when our last day on earth is going to be. Now, tonight's different. I know that. And I know I keep saying that, but I'm emphasizing this. But I feel like the Lord just wants me just to talk to you this evening, just to bare my heart to you a little bit. I brought a calculator with me tonight, and I know this doesn't sound very spiritual. I know that, but just bear with me, will you? I'm 33 years old. And 33 and a half, whatever the case may be. When you look at that, there's 365 days in a year. I know this doesn't sound spiritual, but I'm going somewhere. I have lived on my birthday at 33. Of course, I'm beyond this now, but on my birthday, I'd lived 12,045 days. Those days are over. They're gone. I can't go back and change one thing about them. Not one. You know the thought that the Lord's speaking to me about? Every day I live could be the last day I have. By the way, every day you live could be the last day you have too. If you don't mind, I'm going to come down here with you. You know, the Bible says 70 years, 70 years, you know, whatever. And I realize that there are several in this room who's living beyond that. Well, let's just take 70 years, okay? Do we have any 70-year-olds? You are 70 years old? Yes? Okay. Now listen to this. 70. How many of y'all thought I'd be pulling out a calculator and doing this tonight? Anybody think that? You've lived 25,550 days. The fact of the matter is this. You don't know how much time you've got left. Am I right or wrong? I'm right. I'm trying to follow the Lord here now, so just bear with me. Here's what I'm trying to say. How many of those days that you've lived have you wasted? How many have you wasted? You know what this is tonight? It's a class. It's a counseling session. I'm just sharing with you what God's dealing in my heart about. What thou doest, do quickly. Have y'all are married? Would you raise your hand? You're married? Yes. All right. Let me ask you a question. How many days have you wasted in your marriage? How many days have you wasted arguing over frivolous nonsense? How many days have you let go by without telling each other you love them? There's no doubt in a crowd this size that there's somebody having marriage problems. Not that I know who it is. It's them. I don't know. That's not what I'm talking about. It's none of my business. But in a crowd this size, there's no doubt that there's people with marriage trouble. Can I say something to you? God spoke to me today. He spoke to me through the sickness of our own people. And he said, Jody, I'm not talking about an audible voice. You understand what I'm talking about. He began to impress on my heart, you don't know how much time you've got left. So if you're going to do something, do it now. You make sure that you hug your wife one more time. You make sure you tell your kids that you love them. You make sure that you pack your pockets full of gospel tracts. And you make sure you tell everybody you see today about Jesus. Because this might be your last day, boy. See, that verse, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know what this day is going to bring forth. God's not promised me anything. The only thing he's promised me, what I'm talking about is promised days. The only thing he's promised me is that he'll be there with me all the way through it. And all I'm saying to you tonight as a church is this. What if there's something growing inside your body that you don't know about yet? I'm not trying to get you to live in fear. I'm just bringing you to reality. This is coming to every one of us sometime. And I wonder if the phone called, rang, and it was a doctor on the other side, and he said, you've got stage 4 cancer. What would you do? Would you be praising God for the way you're living your life? Or would you look back and say, man, I've wasted it. I've wasted it. You teenagers, God's working in our teenagers. But there's no doubt in a crowd this size that there's some teenagers not right with mom and daddy. You know what your problem is? Rebellion. You know what your problem is? You think mom and daddy's going to be here forever. And I'm going to tell you something. Your mom and daddy, you can lose them just like that. And I'll tell you this, if you're not right with mom and daddy, you're not right with God. If you're not right with God, you've got major problems. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Let's stop playing games. Let's get serious about serving Jesus Christ. Is he real or is he not? Am I going to see his face or am I not going to see his face? I had one of our dear men in prayer meeting tonight. He said, Jody, he said, when you get our age, he said, you start thinking about how sweet it must be on the other side. You start thinking about that. And I had another dear man in prayer meeting say this. He said, yeah, he said, when you get my age, you got more people over there than you do here. But here's what I'm saying. I'm 33 years old. I may not live to see 34. I don't know exactly what day I'm on. Let's just say it's 12,085. I'm just throwing a number out. Let's say today is 12,085. I'll never have this day again. It's over. I'll never have this moment again. I'll never have yesterday again. I'll never have this moment again. And this day could be the day when I see Jesus Christ. It could be. Can I say something to you? It wouldn't bother me too much if it was. I'm looking forward to seeing him. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to do something for him before I see him. Do you not feel the same way about it, folks? I hope you're sensing my heart tonight. Now, I've got a message prepared, but I'm not going to get to it. I mean, what that does is that helps me next week. But anyway, my heart, God has been dealing with it. I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you several questions. Is there anything in your life that needs changing? Have you come in here tonight, your marriage is not doing well? You've come in here tonight, you've not read the Bible today, you've not prayed today, you've not shared the gospel today. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Do you really believe that today could be your last day? It could be. And I'm simply just trying to get you to think. Trying to get you to think. Here are some of our precious people. And God can do anything he wants to. If God wants to heal him, he can heal him just like that. And that's what I'm praying for. But if he does not heal them, God is still in control. He makes no mistakes. And all I'm saying to you is this: the devil is a master at trying to get people to live for tomorrow. Live for tomorrow. Put off till tomorrow what you can do. Yes, I know that's not right, but I'm just having so much fun in that. I'm just enjoying that so much. You know what that tells me? You're blinded. Anybody living that way is blinded. Because nobody's promised tomorrow. Nobody. I don't care if you're the oldest person here or the youngest person here. Nobody knows who's going next. Nobody. So I want to challenge you with this. The fact of the matter is this. Whenever somebody gets extremely sick like this, that family has an opportunity that some families never have. You know what that is? That's to make sure things are right before they pass on. That's to make sure that their heart's right and that things are settled and that whenever somebody goes off the scene, if God takes them that way, that they don't look back in regrets. But all I'm saying to you is this. Every time I leave my home, I may never come back. Every time I say goodbye to my wife, every time, that may be the last time. Now, I don't like to think about that. And don't miss what I'm saying. You should not be walking around in fear. Oh, is this my last day? No, that's not what you're missing what I'm saying. This shouldn't create fear. It should create motivation. It should motivate you that whenever you and your wife are having an argument or something like that, for somebody to swallow their pride and say, wait a minute, this might be our last day on earth. I don't want to end it this way. That's why you're not to let the sun go down upon your wrath. Because you don't know if one of you may slip off in the night. You don't know if somebody's going to have a car wreck. You don't know if the next doctor's appointment you have, it's going to be bad news instead of good news. You just don't know, and neither do I. That's why when I get up and I preach, that I want to be riled up. I want to be lit on fire. I want to be jumping up and down. Why? Because this might be my last message that I ever preach. And if it is, I want to go out of here saying, God, I gave it everything I had. Are you doing that for your marriage? You doing that in life? Young people, you doing that with your parents? You don't know what I put up with. You don't understand. It's rules, rules, rules. Can I say something? You're going to live by the rule book, I hope. And if you have mom and daddy who have rules, you have a mom and daddy who a lot of people do not have. If your mom and daddy lets you do anything you want to do, go anywhere you want to go, date anybody you want to date, say anything you want to say, wear anything you want to wear, listen to anything you want to listen to, that parent is crazy. They fell off the boat somewhere. And if there's a parent sitting to listen to me tonight, by the way, I'd preach like this because I love you and I care about you. If there's a parent says, I'm afraid if I put up rules, I know she shouldn't be dating him or I know he shouldn't be dating her, but I'm afraid if I put up rules, I'm going to lose my kid. You've already lost them. There ought to be rules in your home. There ought to be guidelines. There ought to be love in your home. You should never leave your house without grabbing your mate and saying, I love you. And I thank God for you. My wife texted me today. We were out eating. She doesn't know that, so she just walked into the balcony. So anyway, I think she just missed that statement. We were out eating, or I ate all day today, it seemed like. That's why I'm staying behind the pulpit a little bit more now than I was, but She wrote me a text and started out, darling. I asked her later, I said, where'd this darling come from? What is that, you know? But she said, darling, I'm in love with you so much. Now, really, let me step out from behind here and say, do you blame her, folks? I mean, honestly, you know, don't answer that. I think you just did with your laughter, right? Can I say this to you? Our marriage is not perfect, but it's awful close. It really is. The reason it's not perfect, because I'm in it. I'm working here, you understand? She's in the balcony. I'm working hard here, you know what I mean? I know it's a little bit different tonight. I know it's not open your Bible and let's just tear this passage apart. That's what I like to do. That's what I love to do. It's not like that tonight. I'm simply just trying to get you to think. How many more days you got left? How many more days you got? By the way, when you look back at the days that God's already given you, He's been good to you, hadn't He? Amen or not? I mean, over 12,000 days He's given me. Over 12,000 days He's been good to me. Over 3,000 of those days have been with my wife. Now I'm trusting that it'll be many, many more. But the fact is, I don't know. Fact is, you don't know either. And all I'm trying to get you to think about today is this. Don't live in fear. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't live in fear of the doctors. Oh, am I going to get a call when I go home? No, you're missing the point. All I'm trying to get you to do today is this. These folks are sick as I speak. We're not always like that. And someday, if God tarries, I know it doesn't sound promising, but if God tarries, it's going to be you and it's going to be me. There's coming a day in every one of our lives, folks, if the Lord doesn't come back and He gives you life, there's coming a day in every one of our lives when you're not going to be able to get up and go if God wants you to go. You're not going to be able to get up and do like He wants you to do now. By the way, what am I saying? I'm saying to you, let's get serious about eternity. Where are you going to spend it? Are you going to spend eternity in heaven? If you are, how many more people are going to spend eternity in heaven because you gave them the gospel? Today, folks, there are people everywhere. There are people everywhere. I'm talking about in the hospitals, they're sitting in the emergency rooms, they're sitting out on the sidewalk. We ran into them today, Bob. They're everywhere. I'm talking about people who need Jesus Christ. How many days of the days that God has given you, how many of those thousands of days that He's given you, have you taken that day and given somebody the gospel? Convicting thought, isn't it? By the way, if you got saved late in life, forget your past. Listen, I'm not talking about living in the past. Your past is gone. Don't worry about it. It's over. It's forgiven. It's under the blood. But what I'm saying is you're here today. If this is your last day on earth, is God pleased with you? With how you lived today? Now, I want to do something a little different. By the way, this is not compromise, folks, to just have a service like this. This is a pastor trying to encourage and try to counsel the church and help the church with something that God has helped me with first. God spoke to me about this. He didn't speak to me and say, hey, I tell you one thing, your church needs that, boy. Hey, that church you pastor, them people really need that. No, that wasn't even in my thoughts. He hit me right between the eyes today. With the thought, you could be next. And if you are, what have you really done for me? What thou doest, do quickly. My marriage is not right. What thou doest, do quickly. I've got a lost neighbor. What thou doest, do quickly. I've not read my Bible today. What thou doest, do quickly. I'm wrong with mom and daddy. What thou doest, do quickly. Why? Because you may be next. By the way, even if none of us get sick from here on out, the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. The twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? When the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know somebody who that is, don't you? Brother Mickey, you know somebody who that is, don't you? How many of y'all know somebody that's dead in Christ? Would you raise your hand? Hey, Jesus comes back right now. We're not going up first. He's going to bring them up first. Then we'll go up together. What a glorious thought to think that someday we're going to see Jesus Christ. We're going to see Him. We're going to spend all eternity with him. I remember Misty Carrier, and she mentioned something along this line. I'm paraphrasing. It's been so many years ago, I don't even remember what happened today, much less years ago, but she made a statement that one of the first things that she's going to do is she's going to jump up on his lap, and she's going to put her arms around his neck, and she's going to bawl like a baby. Not in sadness, but in happiness. Have you ever stopped to think about, I mean, honestly, have you ever stopped to think about what it's going to be when you see Jesus for the first time? I've tried to think about it. And if you're anything like me, your mind goes so far and it stops. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Would you raise your hand? It goes so far and it stops. There's a reason for that. Let me tell you why. We're flesh. We're finite. He's infinite. He's eternal. And someday I'm going to see him face to face. And he's given me one life made up of many days, consecutive days, one day, 2 days. Boy, this is deep tonight. Everybody understand what I'm saying? One day and another day and another day. If he gives you this day, praise God, it's another day, it's another day, it's another day. And he's given you this one collective life, whether it's 1,000 days or 12,000 days or 25,000 days, makes no difference how many. He's given everybody one lifespan to do something for him. And how many take those days that came from him and spend it on themselves and therefore waste it? You remember the verse, and I think it's 2 Samuel, it might be 1 Samuel, where it says, your life is as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. In other words, your life is like a glass of water. When you were first born, it was completely full. But the interesting thing is your glass had a hole in it, and you can't stop the leak. It's called time. It's called moments. It's called hours. It's called seconds. You can't stop it. You're getting older and older and older and older. You're older now than you were when I first got up, folks. You can't stop it. There is water spilling out, spilling out, spilling out, spilling out, and you have a choice to make. If you let it spill out on the ground, it's wasted. You can't gather it up again. But yet God has made it to where there are certain other cups that you can let your water spill out into, so that when you're dead and gone, your life lives on for the glory of God. I'm just saying this. I want to get real. I'm not what I need to be. I'm not what I should be. But I'll tell you this, I want to be. I want to be. I want my wife and I to have the best marriage that we possibly can. I'll be honest, I'm not just saying this. Some people think that I'm pulling their leg and I'm just saying this because I'm pastoring this church and it's the way it not needs to be. I don't know how our marriage could get any better. That's the truth. That's the honest truth. But I'm not naive enough to believe that it can't get better. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What are you doing for the Lord? How many days has God given you? How many days is he going to give you? The fact is, you don't know the answer to that question, but you do know this, he's given you this one. Amen or not, he's given you this one. What have you done with it? Who have you spent it for? Have you given it back to him? Or have you said, I'll keep this one for myself? I'll do my own thing. You do that, it's a waste. If you give it back to God, it lives on and on and on and on. I'd like Miss Carol to come to the piano just a moment. I don't even know what time it is. I don't care what time it is. I want to ask you this question. Are you real? If God Almighty stood right up here in my place and he called your name and he said, I'm going to tell you whether I am pleased with such and such's life, marriage, ministry, soul winning, Bible reading, prayer life, church attendance, on and on we can go. Do you believe he would say, I am pleased with that? I am pleased with that. I am pleased with that. And I'll tell you what he's done with this day. He has spent it just like I wanted him to. Do you get what I'm saying to you tonight, folks? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If you don't, I'm sorry. But I hope you're getting it. God's been good. And He's given us one day at a time. And He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I wonder, what is this day going to bring forth in your life? Could be your last day. Let's get serious about the things of God. Amen or not. I want you to simply play, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. I'm going to pray and I'm going to open the altar. I don't want anybody at all feeling pressure to come to this altar. That has nothing to do with it. Maybe some of you men ought to grab your wife's hand and say, honey, let's go pray and let's make sure that we live every day as if it's our last. Some of you teenagers, wouldn't it be a great thing? Bob, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for a teenager, not that we know who they are, but wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if a teenager who's not right with their parents during this time when heads are bowed and eyes are closed, that they would say, you know, that preacher's right. And they get up out of their seat and they come and find their mom and their dad and they say, I'm going to tell you something, I've been bitter against you. God spoke to me tonight. You say, Joe, this is so different. I know it. I like being different every now and then. And I want to ask you to do one thing. Get real. Get honest with God. Do something for the Lord. This could be your last day. Give it to Jesus. You getting it? You understand what I'm saying? May the Lord help us. Let's pray together. Father, take it. Help us now, I pray. May this be a precious time. Lord, I know this is unique tonight. But Lord, I'm bearing my heart to these folks. I thank you for how you dealt with me today. God, you dealt with me in such a real way. As we were visiting with the sick folks of our church, my, how your spirit spoke to me. Help us, Lord, I pray, to learn the lessons that life is fragile. Life is fleeting fast. Today could be our last day. Help us to live like it and serve you from our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's singing. She's beginning to play. If you feel God wants you to come to this altar, you want to bring your wife, you want to bring your child, you want to bring your teenager, you want to come and say, God, I want to be real. I want to be somebody who is real. I want to spend every day of my life as if this is the last day on earth for me. I want to understand. I don't want to live in fear. I want to live in faith. But I want to know that every day I live could be my last day on this earth. And if it is my last day on this earth, I want it to be one that you, Jesus, are pleased with. There are folks responding. There's still time for you. I don't want anybody feeling pressure about this. Nobody. Nobody. But if you feel like the Lord would have you to come and just pray and seek the Lord, come on. Talk to God. Talk to the Lord. There might be somebody struggling with things. Come on. There might be somebody whose heart's not right. Come on. There might be somebody who, as far as you know, your heart is right, but God is simply speaking to you the same way He spoke to me, that we need to live every day as if it's our last. Only when life will soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. There's no doubt about that. May the Lord help us. Amen. Amen. Just spend a little bit of time in prayer, talking to the Lord, speaking to God, pouring your heart out to the Lord, praying that God will be glorified, God will be uplifted. the Lord will be praised. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. I'd like us to keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. I'd like to ask our preacher, if he wouldn't mind, to come and maybe grab this microphone. Preacher, I want you to pray for these folks who are sick. We don't need to necessarily call them out by name, but the Lord knows who they are. And as he prays out loud here for these sick folks of our church, I want you to pray right there. Get a hold of the Lord. As soon as he's done, we're going to be dismissed. And I just feel a sweet sense of God's Spirit here. So as soon as he says amen, you are dismissed to go back to your respective places. And I hope you'll be back on Sunday. Preacher, if you'll close us in prayer, sir, please.
Father, we thank you for this emphasis tonight because, Lord, we don't know that we'll be around. Lord, we don't know we'll get home tonight, but certainly we won't know where we'll be around when the sun comes up tomorrow. We're not promised that we'll see the dawn of another day. And so, Lord, help us to live daily. Lord, in the light, it may be the last day we'll live on this earth. Make them count for Jesus Christ. Thank you for this emphasis tonight. Pray you'd continue to bless Brother Jody here in the church. And Lord, bless the ministry of this church. May it keep on keeping on, being faithful to Jesus when he comes for him in the air. And then, Lord, we pray for all of these, Lord, people on this list of those that are sick and those that have needs. And Lord, I pray that you'd touch them. We know that you're mighty to save, but you're mighty to heal. And our help comes from above, from the God who made heaven and earth. Lord, we look to thee tonight. Lord, I thank you. You've helped me down through life. When I didn't see you, couldn't make a way, you made a way somehow. And I just praise your high and holy name. And Lord, tonight especially, there's Rachel sitting right behind me, and my heart was burdened for her that as she starts this chemotherapy, Lord, would you help her? Lord, help her just to look to Jesus and trust also in him. And Lord, go with her. And Lord, so many, much Shorty and the Coxes, and Lord, Debbie Davis, and so many more. I can't. The Bowman's up the street for me, Lord. And Lord, may our people right now just pray for these on their heart. You hear and answer prayer. Lord, bend your mighty ear down tonight. And God, show us your God, and that you're able to help us. That you're able to help us. Lord, we know you can heal each one or you can help us. Either way you choose to do, by thy will be done. Now dismiss us with thy blessing. And Lord, go with us and fill us your spirit. Help us to love your word and live a holy life and do the will of God and walk pleasing in his sight. Dismiss us now with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.